The following is a free-for-download audiobook available on Google Drive. The Nectar of Devotion, Chapter 7, Evidence Regarding Devotional Principles. Accepting the Shelter of a Bona Fide Spiritual Master. In the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd chapter, verse 21, Prabuddha tells Maharaj Nimi, quote, "My dear king, please know for certain that in the material world there is no happiness. It is simply a mistake to think that there is happiness here, because this place is full of nothing but miserable conditions. Any person who is seriously desirous of achieving real happiness must seek out a bona fide spiritual master and take shelter of him by initiation. The qualification of a spiritual master is that he must have realized the conclusion of the scriptures by deliberation and arguments, and thus be able to convince others of these conclusions. Such great personalities who have taken shelter of the Supreme Godhead, leaving aside all material considerations, are to be understood as bona fide spiritual masters. Everyone should try to find such a bona fide spiritual master in order to fulfill his mission in life, which is to transfer himself to the plane of spiritual bliss," end quote. The purport is that one should not accept as a spiritual master someone who is fool number one, who has no direction according to the scriptural injunctions, whose character is doubtful, who does not follow the principles of devotional service, or who has not conquered the influence of the six sense gratificatory agents. The six sense agents of sense gratification are the tongue, the belly, the genitals, the anger, the mind, and words. Anyone who has practiced controlling these six is permitted to make disciples all over the world. To accept such a spiritual master is the crucial point for advancement in spiritual life. One who is fortunate enough to come under the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master is sure to traverse the plane of spiritual salvation, without any doubt. Accepting initiation from the spiritual master and receiving instructions from him. Sage Prabuddha continued to speak to the king as follows, quote, "My dear king, a disciple has to accept the spiritual master only as spiritual master, not only as spiritual master, but also as the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the Supersoul. In other words, the disciple should accept the spiritual master as God, because he is the external manifestation of Krishna. This is confirmed in every scripture, and a disciple should accept the spiritual master as such. One should learn Srimad Bhagavatam seriously and with all respect and veneration for the spiritual master. Hearing and speaking Srimad Bhagavatam is the religious process that elevates one to the platform of serving and loving the Supreme Personality of Godhead," end quote. The attitude of the disciple should be to satisfy the bona fide spiritual master. Then it will be very easy for him to understand spiritual knowledge. This is confirmed in the Vedas, and Rupa Goswami will further explain that for a person who has unflinching faith in God and the spiritual master, everything becomes revealed very easily. Serving the spiritual master with faith and confidence. Regarding accepting initiation from the spiritual master, in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 17th chapter, verse 27, it is stated by Lord Krishna, quote, "My dear Uddhava, the spiritual master must be accepted not only as my representative, but as my very self. He must never be considered on the same level with an ordinary human being. One should never be envious of the spiritual master as one may be envious of an ordinary man. The spiritual master should always be seen as the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and by serving the spiritual master, one is able to serve all the demigods," end quote. Following in the footsteps of saintly persons. In the Skanda Purana, it is advised that a devotee follow the past acharyas and spiritual persons, because by such following, one can achieve the desired results with no chance of lamenting or being baffled in his progress. The scripture known as Brahmayamala states as follows, quote, "If someone wants to pose himself as a great devotee without following the authorities in the revealed scriptures, then his activities will never help him to make progress in devotional service. Instead, he will simply create disturbances for the sincere students of devotional service," end quote. Those who do not strictly follow the principles of revealed scriptures are generally called sahajiyas. those who have imagined everything to be cheap, who have their own concocted ideas, and who do not follow the scriptural injunctions. Such persons are simply creating disturbances in the discharge of devotional service. In this connection, an objection may be raised by those who are not in devotional service and who do not care for the revealed scriptures. An example of this is seen in Buddhist philosophy. Lord Buddha appeared in the family of a high-grade Kshatriya king, but his philosophy was not in accord with the Vedic conclusions and therefore was rejected. Under the patronage of a Hindu king, Maharaj Ashoka, the Buddhist religion was spread all over India and the adjoining countries. However, after the appearance of the great stalwart teacher Shankaracharya, this Buddhism was driven out beyond the borders of India. The Buddhists or other religionists who do not care for revealed scriptures sometimes say that there are many devotees of Lord Buddha who show devotional service to Lord Buddha and who therefore should be considered devotees. In answer to this argument, Rupa Goswami says that the followers of Buddha cannot be accepted as devotees. Although Lord Buddha is accepted as an incarnation of Krishna, the followers of such incarnations are not very advanced in their knowledge of the Vedas. To study the Vedas means to come to conclusion of the supremacy of the personality of Godhead. Therefore, any religious principle that denies the supremacy of the personality of Godhead is not accepted and is called atheism. Atheism means defying the authority of the Vedas and decrying the great acharyas who teach Vedic scriptures for the benefit of the people in general. Lord Buddha is accepted as an incarnation of Krishna in the Srimad Bhagavatam, but in the same Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that Lord Buddha appeared in order to bewilder the atheistic class of men. Therefore, his philosophy is meant for bewildering the atheists and should not be accepted. If someone asks, quote, why should Krishna propagate atheistic principles, end quote? The answer is that it was the desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to end the violence which was then being committed in the name of the Vedas. The so-called religionists were falsely using the Vedas to justify such violent acts as meat-eating, and Lord Buddha came to lead the fallen people away from such a false interpretation of the Vedas. Also, for the atheists, Lord Buddha preached atheism so that they would follow him and thus be tricked into devotional service to Lord Buddha or Krishna. Inquiring about eternal religious principles. In the Nardiya Purana, it is said, quote, if one is actually very serious about devotional service, then all of his purposes will be served without delay, end quote. Being prepared to give up everything material for Krishna's satisfaction. In the Padma Purana, it is stated, quote, for one who has given up his material sense enjoyment and has accepted the principles of devotional service, the opulence of Vishnu Loka, the kingdom of God, is awaiting, end quote. Residing in a sacred place. In the Skanda Purana, it is also said that for a person who has lived in Dvarka for 6 months, for 1 month, or even for 1 fortnight, there is awaiting elevation to the Vaikuntha Lokas and for all the prophets of Sarupya Mukti, the privilege of having the same four-handed bodily features as Narayan. In the Brahma Purana, it is stated, quote, the transcendental significance of Purukshottama Kshetra, which is the 80-square-mile field of Lord Jagannath, cannot be properly described. Even the demigods from the higher planetary systems see the inhabitants of this Jagannath Puri as having exactly the same bodily features possessed by one in Vaikuntha. That is, the demigods see the inhabitants of Jagannath Puri as being four-handed, end quote. When there was a meeting of great sages at Namasharanya, Śrīta Gosvāmī was reciting Śrīmad Bhāgavatam, and the importance of the Ganges was stated as follows, quote, the waters of the Ganges are always carrying the flavor of tulsi offered to the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, and as such, the waters of the Ganges are ever flowing, spreading the glories of Lord Krishna. Wherever the waters of the Ganges are flowing, all will be sanctified both externally and internally, end quote. Accepting only what is necessary. In the Nardiya Purana, it is directed, quote, one should not accept more than necessary if he's serious about discharging devotional service, end quote. The purport is that one should not neglect following the principles of devotional service, nor should one accept the rulings of devotional service that are more than what he can easily perform. For example, it may be said that one should chant the Hare Krishna mantra at least 100,000 times daily on his beads. But if this is not possible, then one must minimize his chanting according to his own capacity. Generally, we recommend our disciples to chant at least 16 rounds on their japa beads daily, and this should be completed. But if one is not even able to chant 16 rounds, then he should make it up the next day. He must be sure to keep his vow. If he does not strictly follow this out, then he is sure to be negligent. That is offensive in the service of the Lord. If we encourage offenses, we shall not be able to make progress in devotional service. It is better if one fixes up a regulative principle according to his ability and then follows that vow without fail. That will make him advanced in spiritual life. Observing fasting on Ekadasi. In the Brahmavivarta Purana, it is said that one who observes fasting on Ekadasi is freed from all kinds of reactions to sinful activities and advances in pious life. The basic principle is not just to fast, but to increase one's faith and love for Govinda or Krishna. The real reason for observing fasting on Ekadasi is to minimize the demands of the body and to engage our time in the service of the Lord by chanting or performing similar service. The best thing to do on fasting day is to remember the pastimes of Govinda and to hear his holy name constantly. Offering respect to the banyan trees. In the Skanda Purana, it is directed that a devotee should offer water to the tulsi plant and amalaka trees. He should offer respect to the cows and to the brahmanas and should serve the Vaishnavas by offering them respectful obeisances and meditating upon them. All these processes will help the devotee to diminish the reactions of his past sinful activities. Giving up the company of non-devotees. Lord Chaitanya once was asked by one of his householder devotees what the general behavior of a Vaishnava should be. In this connection, Lord Chaitanya replied that a Vaishnava should always give up the company of non-devotees. Then he explained that there are two kinds of non-devotees. One class is against the supremacy of Krishna, and another class is too materialistic. In other words, those who are after material enjoyment and those who are against the supremacy of the Lord are called avaishnava, and their company should be strictly avoided. In the Katyayana Samhita, it is stated that even if one is forced to live in a cage of iron or in the midst of a blazing fire, he should accept this position rather than living with non-devotees who are through and through against the supremacy of the Lord. Similarly, in the Vishnu Rahasya, there is a statement to the effect that one should prefer to embrace a snake, a tiger, or an alligator rather than associate with persons who are worshippers of various demigods and who are impelled by material desire. In the scriptures, it is instructed that one may worship a certain demigod if he is desirous of achieving some material gain. For example, one is advised to worship the sun god if one is desirous of getting rid of a disease condition. For a beautiful wife, one may worship Uma, the wife of Lord Shiva, and for advanced education, one may worship Saraswati. Similarly, there is a list in the Srimad Bhagavatam for worshippers of all demigods according to different material desires. But all of these worshippers, although they appear to be very good devotees of the demigods, are still considered to be non-devotees. They cannot be accepted as devotees. The Mayavadis, impersonalists, may say that one may worship any form of Lord and that it doesn't matter because one reaches the same destination anyway. But it is clearly stated in the Bhagavad Gita that those who are worshippers of the demigods ultimately reach only the planets of those demigods, while those who are devotees of the Lord himself will be promoted to the Lord's abode, the kingdom of God. So, actually, these persons who are worshippers of demigods have been condemned in the Gita. It is described that due to their lusty desires, they have lost their intelligence and have therefore taken to worshipping the different demigods. So in the Vishnu Rahasya, these demigod worshippers are forcefully condemned by the statement that it is better to live with the most dangerous animals than to associate with these persons. not accepting unfit disciples, constructing many temples, or reading many books. Another stricture is that a person may have many disciples, but he should not act in such a way that he will be obliged to them, to any of them, for some particular action or some favor. And one should also not be very enthusiastic about instructing new temples, nor should one be enthusiastic about reading various types of books, save and except the ones that lead to the advancement of devotional service. Practically, if one very carefully reads Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and this nectar of devotion, that will give him sufficient knowledge to understand the science of Krishna consciousness. One need not take the trouble of reading other books. In the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 13th chapter, verse 8, Narada Muni, while discussing with Maharaj Yudhisthira the various functions of the different orders of society, especially mentions rules for the sannyasis, those persons who have renounced this material world. One who has accepted the renounced order of life is forbidden to accept as a disciple anyone who is not fit. A sannyasi should first of all examine whether a prospective student is sincerely seeking Krishna consciousness. If he is not, he should not be accepted. However, Lord Chaitanya's causeless mercy is such that he advised all bona fide spiritual masters to speak about Krishna consciousness everywhere. Therefore, in the line of Lord Chaitanya, even the sannyasis can speak about Krishna consciousness everywhere, and if someone is seriously inclined to become a disciple, the sannyasi always accepts him. The one point is that without increasing the number of disciples, there is no propagation of the cult of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, sometimes even at a risk, a sannyasi in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu may accept even a person who is not thoroughly fit to become a disciple. Later on, by the mercy of such a bona fide spiritual master, the disciple is gradually elevated. However, if one increases the number of disciples simply for some prestige or false honor, he will surely fall down in the matter of executing Krishna consciousness. Similarly, the spiritual master has no business reading many books just to show his proficiency or to get popularity by lecturing in different places. One should avoid all these things. It is also stated that a sannyasi should not be enthusiastic about constructing temples. We can see in the lives of various acharyas in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that they were not very enthusiastic about constructing temples. However, if somebody comes forward to offer some service, the same reluctant acharyas will encourage the building of costly temples by such servitors. For example, Rupa Goswami was offered a favor by Maharaj Man Singh, the commander-in-chief of Emperor Akbar, and Rupa Goswami instructed him to construct a large temple for Govindaji, which cost vast amounts of money. So, a bona fide spiritual master should not personally take any responsibility for constructing temples, but if someone has money and wants to spend it in the service of Krishna, an acharya like Rupa Goswami may utilize the devotee's money to construct a nice, costly temple for the service of the Lord. Unfortunately, it happens that someone who is not fit to become a spiritual master may approach wealthy persons to contribute for temple constructions. If such money is utilized by unqualified spiritual masters for living comfortably in costly temples without doing actually any preaching work, this is not acceptable. In other words, the spiritual master needn't be very enthusiastic for constructing temple buildings simply in the name of so-called spiritual advancement. Rather, his first and foremost activity should be to preach. In this connection, Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur recommended that a spiritual master print books. If one has money, instead of constructing costly temples, he should spend his money for the publication of authorized books in different languages for propagation of the Krishna consciousness movement. Straightforwardness in regarding ordinary dealings and equilibrium in loss and gain. There is a statement in the Padma Purana, quote, "Persons who are engaged in Krishna consciousness should never be disturbed by some material gain or loss. Even if there is some material loss, one should not be perturbed, but should always think of Krishna within himself, end quote. The purport is that every conditioned soul is always absorbed in thinking of materialistic activities. He has to free himself from such thoughts and transfer himself completely to Krishna consciousness. As we have already explained, the basic principle of Krishna consciousness is to always think of Krishna. One should not be disturbed in material loss, but rather one should concentrate his mind upon the lotus feet of the Lord. A devotee should not be subjected to lamentation or illusion. There is the following statement in the Padma Purana, quote, "Within the heart of a person who is overpowered by lamentation or anger, there is no possibility of Krishna's being manifested," end quote. The demigods. One should not neglect to offer due respect to the demigods. One may not be a devotee of demigods, but that does not mean that he should be disrespectful to them. For example, a Vaishnava is not a devotee of Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma, but he is duty-bound to offer all respect to such highly positioned demigods. According to Vaishnava philosophy, one should offer respect even to an ant. So then what is there to speak of such exalted persons as Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma? In the Padma Purana, it is said, quote, "Krishna, or Hari, is the master of all demigods, and therefore he is always worshipable. But this does not mean that one should not offer respect to the demigods," end quote. Not giving pain to any living entity. This is the statement of the Mahabharata, quote, "A person who does not disturb or cause painful action in the mind of any living entity, who treats everyone just as a loving father does his children, whose heart is so pure, certainly very soon becomes favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead," end quote. In so-called civilized society, there is sometimes agitation against cruelty to animals, but at the same time, regular slaughterhouses are always maintained. A Vaishnava is not like that. A Vaishnava can never support animal slaughter or even give pain to any living entity.